You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. I'm Molly Karam here, of course, with Jay Williams. Our coach, Seth Greenberg, looking clean. Hi, coach. How we doing?
What up, baby?
What's happening, Miss Molly? Jay and, Will, cerebral.
My man.
Later, we'll have Kendrick Perkins, Harry Douglas, Sam Acho, Mike Tannenbaum. We'll get into some NFL as well. But we start with the Sweet 16, gentlemen. Down goes UNC. Just like Jay predicted it, the first one seed to fall. Grant Nelson converted a go-ahead three-point play with 38 seconds remaining. And Alabama will go to the Elite Eight for the second time in school history. But that wasn't the only upset. Here comes Clemson to the Elite Eight after knocking off number two Arizona. Senior guard Chase Hunter at 18-7 to help advance the Tigers. Former North Carolina teammates Caleb Love and R.J. Davis both struggled from behind the arc in their team's Sweet 16 losses. Love and Davis both went 0-9 from deep. Both were named Conference Player of the Year for the Pac-12 and ACC, respectively. So we saw this in the open. Both of you said this could happen. Seth, which was the bigger surprise, UNC or Arizona going down?
Well, being I picked Clemson, I'm going to have to go the other direction with North Carolina, with North Carolina going down to an Alabama team that imposed their identity on the game. Mm-hmm. I thought the defensive game plan that Nate Oates had was absolutely incredible. They did not guard Elliott Cadeau. They did not guard Seth Drimble. They absolutely took Grant Nelson, 6'11", 7-foot wingspan, put him in the middle of the lane. Every single time R.J. Davis came off the screen, there was an extra defender. Every time Baycott got posted up, there was an extra defender. They forced someone else to beat him. They were not going to let Carolina's two best players beat him. And then offensively, Grant Nelson was absolutely terrific in terms of attacking matchups. I thought that Alabama's upset was greater because I thought Carolina was playing better coming into, obviously, the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to agree with you on this, Seth. I'm going to take it a step further. I mean, look, that team that Nate Oates had a little while ago with Brandon Miller, I think they were by far the more talented team. Yes. I think this is a better team. The ball doesn't stick as much to one individual's hand. And with the way Mark Sears plays, with the way they actually defend it in that game against North Carolina, look, a lot of those shots that R.J. Davis took, who was ACC Player of the Year, in the National Player of the Year conversation, those all were contested shots. And the reality is that North Carolina got lured into playing the same style of basketball that Alabama plays, threes and twos. And Seth, you and I both know that's not North Carolina's style to play. They are a defensive team that plays in and out. And when they get away from from playing inside out and playing outside in, that plays into Alabama's hands. So I think this is an Alabama team that I'm going to have favored in that game against Clemson. I actually think they're going to be in the Final Four. And they're going to prove my thesis to be correct that, once again, not a more talented team, but better chemistry team for Alabama moving to the Final Four. That's what I got.
I think the biggest thing, Jay Will, is their development. During the course of the season, Grant Nelson started off, obviously, a big name, transferred. He was kind of like the most highly recruited transfer. Versatile, 6'10", handle the ball, could shoot it a little bit, a matchup problem. He struggled early, but slowly but surely kind of the light bulb went on. They figured out how to use him defensively. They figured out how to use him offensively. And then the perimeter game. The size of the backcourt of Alabama was really a problem for the defense of North Carolina. Estrada, you're talking about Rylan Griffin, you're talking about Mark Sears, all three of those guys, they come at you in warp speed. And then they make you defend all over the floor. The actions that Alabama runs is so difficult. Having said that, and I agree that that was the more surprising, Clemson was absolutely incredible. They were absolutely incredible because Clemson all season long relied off on their offense. But in the NCAA tournament, they've been a dominant defensive team defending the three-point line. They absolutely were terrific defending the three-point line and running Arizona off the three-point line. I thought they were terrific, changing their defenses man-to-man. Well, their man was more like a zone anyway. It was toast to the three-point line, keep it in front, no splits, force a contested shot, then go down the other end. And then They went to the zone. And what did Arizona do? They settled in. Instead of dictating the shot they wanted, they settled in. Again, not getting to the basket, taking away the high-low game, forcing them to shoot contested threes. And offensively, Clemson is a tough matchup offensively because their bigs are so skilled. So, you know, I talk about, obviously, Alabama's upset. But yeah. Clemson, that was a clinic, Jay Will, a clinic on both sides.
Yeah.
Great.
What about UConn?
Do you want to know a stat about your squad?
Yeah, wait. Let me read this real quick and then give me the stat. A team that didn't struggle last night, obviously UConn, threw to the Elite Eight after a dominant 30-point victory over San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Those three games of this tournament, the Huskies are outscoring their opponents by nearly 29 points per game and have only trailed for a total of 28 seconds. Coach, why so many blowouts?
We suck at winning close games. So, you know, you got to go with the alternative. I think the group, we got a killer instinct. We play every possession with great desperation. We got NBA level players that are incredibly well prepared, by Luke Murray and Kamani Young, who two of the best coaches in the country, assistant, head coach, just two of the best that do it. We're very comfortable in tournament play. We're hard to prepare for.
I just got to say, after Jim Calhoun, it was big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
He is unbelievable. Let's get to your stat, though.
What was the last part of your stat? How many seconds have they trailed in this tournament?
28 seconds.
So add 5 seconds to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much they've trailed in the second half over the last two tournaments.
It's unbelievable.
33
the second
seconds,
half adjustments are unbelievable.
33 seconds in the last two NCAA tournaments in the second half.
Yeah.
Over 2 years. That's insane. Seth, I
don't want to get too cocky, but I'm feeling really cocky now.
I think Illinois is going to be a big-time matchup because they can score. They may not be able to defend, but they can score. Seth, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I mean, and they have to complete the deal, okay, which means win a championship. But you and I have both spent time with Coach Hurley. I truly believe that when I am around him, we are on the verge of seeing one of the greatest ever to do it. Now, I know he has to close the deal. But you think about one of the most dominant teams, and you talked about losing 5 starters from last year's team on Get Up. He's done it with 2 completely different rosters now, if he's able to seal the deal. And you talk about some of the coaches in rarefied air who have been able to win 2 national championships, the likes of Bill Self and company. If he's able to do that in a 2-year span at his age, what we're seeing right now from a person and a team that he holds everybody accountable. Think about some of the subjects we're going to be talking about today. You imagine if Dan Hurley had to deal with Draymond Green, how would that be in the locker room? How would that pan out? We would see a fight. We would see scraps. We would see claws over the face. It wouldn't just be any kind of like, well, you know, it is what it is. It would be handled very differently. Now, I know it's NBA and college, but we're talking about a team that never plays down to the level of their competition. Could they lose? Yes. Could they have an off night? Yes. But if college basketball were a 7-game series, I would bet on UConn all day long because that dude coaches them differently. I think we're seeing one of the greatest ever to do it. I think by the time it's all said and done, his resume will match up. It may not reach to the pinnacle, but it will match up with some of the greatest coaches to ever coach.
Yeah, 5 of their top 8 scorers departed. 3 guys to the NBA, and yet they're right where they are. I think Danny Hurley is Saban-esque. That's right, because the accountability and the standard. Look, I'm over there watching practice all the time. The standard's the standard when you talk about Connecticut basketball. They're held to that standard every single, from the second they step on that playing court for practice, there's a standard that they're held to. And if they do not fulfill that standard is a consequence. And I think in an era where some coaches are afraid to coach their team because they're worried about the transfer portal, because he coaches his team hard, all right, they buy in and they trust him and they believe in him and they play for him. They've got the perfect mixture. They did not collect talent. They actually put together a team. And everyone embraces their roles. And their roles are clearly defined. And everyone champions their roles. And they're all about one thing. They're all about winning. In an era and of transfer portal, workout guys, grassroots, expectation to get to the league, collectives, NIL, not a factor. not a factor. They're about one thing. They're about winning. And it's because and it comes from the top. It comes from the staff. It comes from the preparation. It comes from the accountability on a daily basis. And I think it's a great lesson for a lot of coaches that are afraid to coach their team. Mm. Have a relationship with your players, earn their trust, and then coach them. And you know, at the end of the year, if they don't want to be coached hard, they can leave. They're not going to help you win anyway. Now, having said that, Illinois poses some problems. Illinois poses problems because those three perimeter guys are all 6'6". Illinois poses problems because Terrence Shannon has absolutely been brutal and absolutely on a tear. And the two big guys are a concern. Coleman Hawkins, Dane Danger, they can kind of get into the bench maybe a little bit of Connecticut. But I still think Connecticut, the most dominant, most prepared team in college basketball.
Now it's big decisions. Do I go to Arizona? There's a lot to figure out.
Well, you owe us one anyway.
Oh, you got to go to Arizona.
You were supposed to come on game day when we were at UConn. And you bailed on us the last second.
Valid.
So, you know, now that means you have to come out to Arizona. You
I
have to
agree,
be on the show
Jay
with
Will.
Us Phoenix.
Come
the show,
on, Molly.
What are those dates?
It's
Here's
April
the deal,
6th
though.
And 8th.
Here's the deal, because you know Stephen A. is a big, huge diva. So he
we'll get him courtside seats.
He said he'll go, but yeah, but only if it's courtside seats. So we need the courtside seats to happen. Can we make that happen?
We can make that happen. We got that. We got some points.
Can we make that happen, Coach? Jay Will knows people. I could help him maybe in a box, but I'm not sure I could help on courtside seats.
All right. So when is that? April 5th and 6th?
April 6th and 8th.
6th and 8th.
Yes. Final Four, National.
Jay Will, you going to wear a tie for the NCAA tournament or what?
Probably not.
What do you call that? Swaggy chic?
Shabby chic is a furniture style.
I know.
Like a home decor style.
It's their own whole little joke that the guys say on game day about this.
Oh, my gosh. And you're vintage, Coach. We get it. Coming up, Draymond Green.
That was a cheap shot.
No, it wasn't. Don't be sensitive. Draymond Green, a little sensitive, ejected less than 4 minutes into an eventual Warriors win over the Orlando Magic on Wednesday night. And his team's disappointed reactions keep on coming. Green had been arguing previous calls with referee Ray Acosta, who gave him a technical foul. And then another, as Green continued arguing, Steve Kerr had more to say about it yesterday. Take a listen.
It was really unforgivable, you know, and I think Steph may have even been a little upset with himself for not pulling Draymond out of there, but I think mostly it was just, come on, man, you know, we need this. Draymond knows. I mean, he's a grown man. He's got to handle his own business. Any mention of Steph being culpable is just ridiculous. The way Steph has carried our franchise, represented our franchise for 15 years, it's absolutely ridiculous.
There he is. Big Perk, top of the morning to you, sir. Good to see you on this Feel Good Friday.
What up, Big Perk?
Let's just dive right in, Perk, and get into this action. Okay? I need a Big Perk hot take for me. What are your thoughts on this?
Let me ask y'all a question. You know, if y'all was to hire a chef, and every single time you ask this chef that you tell him that I need a pot of white rice to go with whatever dish you're trying to make, and every time you go and open the lid, you take off the lid, it turned out to be grits. Okay, it can happen the first time. It can happen the second time. But after the third time, what are you going to do, Molly? What are you going to do, Jay Will?
I'm probably going to fire them and get a new chef.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My point exactly. And why I say that is because it's time for the Warriors to part ways with Draymond Green. Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, they're going to have that tough conversation in the offseason, because once a person show you who they are, you have to believe them. And like we say about a lot of old people, they're stuck in their ways. Well, Draymond Green is a veteran, and he's stuck in his ways. When you look at the Jordan Poole incident, we saw what happened with that. Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, they had Draymond Green's back. Okay, let's take it to this year. What he did with Nurkic, just the suspension. Steph Curry had his back. Steve Kerr had his back. Draymond Green talked about him and Steve Kerr crying, you know, sharing the moment. Okay, all of a sudden you get here on a back-to-back, on a night in a must-win situation with no Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond Green gets ejected. Then we watch Steph Curry, the emotions, right? Look how emotional he was. He's exhausted. The fan base of Golden State is exhausted. Steve Kerr, he's exhausted, and rightfully so. Draymond Green is not going to change. And do you want it to be to the dispense of your franchise, Mr. Golden State, the Bay Area himself and Steph Curry? Absolutely not. And it's going to be a tough conversation, a hard conversation, but it's time for the Golden State Warriors to cut ties when it comes down to Draymond Green.
Perk, I agree with you. I wanted to address something very quickly that happened on the show yesterday. And Steve Kerr, the back end of his comments, not sure if they were directed towards me, but I took it as it was. So yesterday, Big Perk, I was getting text messages from people whose opinions I value within the league that were starting to question Steph Curry's leadership ability and ultimately the legacy of Steph Curry. With the way things got put out there into the world, people interpreted that I was saying that it ultimately was going to affect the legacy of Steph Curry when that's not what I said. I actually dispelled that later in the show.
Can I help out for one second?
Sure.
Here? And I don't want to interrupt your monologue. So basically, Perk, Jay's not going to say it, but a clip was taken and it was out of context. They just took one section of the clip. It wasn't his full statement. It wasn't everything that Jay said. And it was taken out of context, essentially, and then that's where it went viral and everything went off, and that wasn't even his actual take. So we put him in a poor situation.
I appreciate that, Ma. I just wanted to clarify, Big Perk. You know,
no,
sometimes
well,
in the media
fault.
Game, that's how things
happen. It happens to us as well.
Agreed.
Just as it does to other people.
We're all big boys, so we come up on TV and we talk about it. We address the hard things,
yeah.
Right? Speaking of addressing hard things, now let's get back to this issue here. Thank you, Molly. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, it happens.
I thought yesterday's video by Draymond, Big Perk, was embarrassing. It was dismissive. His tonality was that of no contrition. I thought it was somebody who seems like he's above the organization. So to your point, I think everybody is culpable there of enabling that. And I know that this is the same Draymond Green where his actions led to them winning championships, and I get that. But the reality is that his talent is no longer bigger than the problem. They're not winning championships, Big Perk. They're fighting for a 10th seed right now. And to your point, if you're Mike Dunleavy, you're looking at this situation and you're saying, okay, Draymond Green feels like he is Teflon, that he has won championships, so nobody's ego is more demonstrative in this organization than Draymond Green. But he's not gonna change his ways. And imagine being a player in that locker room, Perk. You imagine Draymond coming in the locker room, but guys, that's my fault. That's going in my right ear. That's going out the left. There's nothing you can say, Draymond, that's going to make me think that you actually mean it. Like you got suspended indefinitely, Big Perk. Indefinitely. When has that ever happened in the history of the league? Indefinitely. Even understanding the relationship with Joe Dumars and Draymond, which gives even more complexity to the issue. Because Joe loves him like a son.
Mm-hmm.
They suspended him indefinitely. So now you want to say, you know, this is the exception, not the rule. No, this is the rule for you, Dre. This is who you've always been. So the talent is no longer bigger than the problem. And Dre is the problem. So I agree with you, man. It's time for them to part ways when the season's over. You're obviously going to fight for a play-in tournament, but Steph Curry, 30, deserves way more than what Dre has given him.
And it's time. You're talking about a guy that has poured his heart and soul into this organization. And I'm talking about Steph Curry. It's only right that Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy do their job this offseason and surround him with the necessary pieces so they could get back to competing and also make sure that they taking mindset that they need to protect his peace. You need to protect his peace because what Steph Curry has meant not only to that organization but the NBA, he doesn't deserve this. And to some of the people who was texting you, Jay, you need to block them right now. Block them. They don't need to text you no more, okay? They don't need to text you no more. That's the second thing. But back to Draymond. It's to the point now where you take a whiteboard and you look at the pros and you look at the cons. The cons are outweighing the pros, and that is the deciding factor, and that should be the deciding factor when it comes to the Golden State Warriors this offseason.
And we're going to talk about this perk coming up, but it does lead to a very interesting scenario with the Golden State Warriors, with the way that Andrew Wiggins has played, with Klay looking for a new contract. What can you, what value can you get in return for Draymond Green? Does Steph Curry want to be part of a rebuilding organization if that's the direction that the Golden State Warriors go? It just poses a really interesting question, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Draymond, four ejections this season. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The women's Sweet 16 kicks off this afternoon with Notre Dame and Hannah Hidalgo facing off against Oregon State. And then later today, undefeated South Carolina faces Indiana with a trip to the Elite Eight on the line. Let's get into it. Welcome, my girl, college basketball analyst, Andrea Carter. Andrea, great to see you.
Thank you, Molly. Thank you for having me, as always.
Of course. All right, let's roll through a lot of star power all over this tournament, and we are loving it. Dawn Staley's squad has continued its dominance so far in this tournament. Which team, Andrea, is currently the biggest threat to South Carolina taking this home?
You know, Molly, as I was listening to Perk talk about Draymond Green and he brought up food, I started to think about South Carolina and other teams. And you know how you set a table and there might be something missing? Your silverware is missing. Your drink might be missing. South Carolina is the only team that has set the table and nothing is missing. They're not missing anything on offense. They're not missing anything on the bench. They're not missing anything on defense. And so to answer your question, South Carolina is the biggest threat to South Carolina. I truly believe, I said this early when the tournament started, I've said this during the season, teams can only beat South Carolina if South Carolina helps them. Like, I've tried to look at different teams. Like, you could say Iowa because Caitlin Clark can put up incredible numbers. You could say LSU because they have Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow, and it was close when they played in the first half. Even Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame's big three, but it's just not close when it comes to looking at all the aspects of the game. South Carolina wins in every aspect. So even for me, if they fall short in a couple, they dominate in all of the others. So I still stand 10 toes down on South Carolina being the biggest threat to South Carolina because all the other teams are in the same group.
I'd love to see them in the end. They're kind of like UConn in the men's tournament. It's if they beat themselves. Yes. But you mentioned Notre Dame. How dangerous is super freshman Hannah Hidalgo in this Notre Dame squad? Because I haven't seen her much.
Hannah Hidalgo is elite on both ends of the floor. She is the best two-way player in the country. I still believe she should win Naismith Defensive Player of the Year. She's leading all players in fast break points in the tournament. She has speed. She has incredible anticipation. And Molly, I know you said you haven't seen her, so I have to try to explain this, and I'm gonna light up as I say this. She just plays with so much joy. Like, I haven't seen someone on the court have the type of energy, and it radiates from her. If Notre Dame was in any other region, I would have them as a Final Four team. Wow. Because they're in South Carolina's region, I don't have them in a Final Four. But with Hannah Hidalgo, how elite she is, and then Sonia Citron and Maddie Westwell, they have a true big three. Mm-hmm. It's South Carolina that's in the way. But Hannah Hidalgo's dangerous right now, and she'll be dangerous for the entirety of her career.
Yeah, and she's just a freshman. All right, looking ahead to tomorrow's Sweet 16 matchups. You know, everyone wants to see Angel Reese talking about star power and LSU taking on UCLA. And then there's Caitlin Clark in Iowa taking on Colorado. Andrea, how likely is it we get this heavyweight matchup of LSU versus Iowa Elite Eight?
You know, Molly, I've gone back and forth on this one because all four teams that have to play for us to get Iowa and LSU, all four teams have looked up and down to me at times. I had Iowa and LSU when I originally filled out my bracket, and I have Iowa and LSU still coming out after watching the teams play. I believe we get this heavyweight national championship rematch. I really do. It's going to be tough. Colorado's going to try and give Iowa a run for their money. They're going to try and make Caitlin Clark pass the ball to her teammates and challenge her teammates to make shots. They did not do that in the West Virginia game. Caitlin Clark was able to pull them through. Colorado's going to have a tall task trying to limit Caitlin this season. They weren't able to do it last season. Caitlin had 31 points on 50% from the field. That's going to be an interesting matchup. And then LSU, UCLA, this is also a heavyweight battle. They both have size on the inside. They both have three dynamic scorers in the starting lineup. I give LSU the edge because overall, top to bottom, they just have more talent, in my opinion. They've had more pieces contribute in their last win. They had four players in double figures. And Haley Van Lith still hasn't played well for LSU. So I firmly believe LSU is going to beat UCLA. Iowa's going to beat Colorado. And we get this matchup. Again, rematch of the national championship. I do think we get it. It's going to be tough on both sides, but I think we get it.
Listen, Saturday is going to be a big day for me. And speaking of our food theme, you know, I might have to have a nice spread there. We've got USC Juju Watkins and the USC Trojans taking on Baylor, followed by Paige Beckers and UConn, the Huskies facing Duke. Then we got the men playing as well. How likely are we to get a Juju Watkins versus Paige Beckers matchup in the Elite Eight?
Just like the last question, I'm going highly likely. I definitely think USC can take down Baylor. Now, that's going to be an interesting matchup because Baylor has this defensive juggernaut named Bella Fauntleroy. Watching her go against Juju Watkins, they match up in size, they match up in athleticism. That's the one-on-one matchup to watch. But USC, they just have it to me. With Mackenzie Forbes and the way she's been able to score 20-plus, the way that they play defense, the way they've had shooters around Juju, the way they get out in transition, I like what I've seen from the Trojans. I originally had them in my Final Four. Unfortunately for you, I still have them in my Final Four. But that does mean that they're going to take down Baylor, and then I believe in UConn. It has been incredible to watch Paige Beckers this season. You would love what Dawn Staley said. I don't know if you saw it, but Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, said Paige is the elitist player that we have, and I believe it. She's so smooth. She doesn't take bad shots. She trusts her teammates. At the end of the Syracuse game, probably the best play for me from Paige was when she got double teamed, kicked the ball to KK Arnold, trusted KK Arnold to make the shot. That's a freshman.
Yeah.
Those type of things are so impressive to me that Paige does. So for me to have Paige potentially against Juju potentially, I think we get it. Two of the smoothest players in the game. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun matchup. I think we get it.
And that's major coming from you and obviously Dawn, because Paige Becker, she really was cheated, right? She was kind of had that Caitlin Clark shine and then down two seasons. So it's so great to see her back out there. Real, real quick, because I got to let you go before you go. Remind me who you have winning it all at South Carolina, right?
100%.
Okay, and you're still feeling good about that. All right, Andrea, we will be checking in with you soon. Enjoy the games. Have a fabulous weekend.
Thanks, Molly.
Yep. Speaking of star power, to the NFL we go, which is loaded with quarterbacks. Quarterback Drake May had his pro day yesterday in Chapel Hill and showcased his big arm in front of a bevy of NFL scouts. Mel Kiper Jr. has May going third to the New England Patriots in his latest mock draft. Meanwhile, Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. also at his pro day yesterday. Penix led Washington to a national championship game appearance, a historical run for the Huskies. Yesterday, Penix posted a sub-4.6 second time in the 40 at the pro day after opting not to do it the NFL scouting combine. On that note, we bring in my guys, Harry Douglas, Mike Tannenbaum, Sam Acho. Gentlemen, happy Friday. How we doing?
Doing awesome.
Doing good. Doing good. It's Love Friday, Molly. Come on now. Love Friday.
So you can plug it. You want to tell everyone at home, you're giving your love advice. Tell them what the deal is on your radio show.
Yeah, on Freddie and Harry, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. Make sure y'all come check us out. We talk about everything in the sports world, but we give you love advice. You know what I mean? We play nice music to get you ready for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. Don't you cry. All you got to do is catch us. Catch us, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., baby.
I love it. Don't be surprised if you get a quick ring from Molly from Connecticut. I don't know who that might be, but all right, Harry and Sam, obviously you guys cover college football for us and you watch these players closely. Mike T, you're on the other side. You know what these NFL teams are looking for, so looking forward to this conversation. Harry, in a loaded quarterback class, who projects to be the best pro in your eyes?
Molly, I think it potentially could be Drake May, and here's why I think that. When you look at all the quarterbacks in the draft right now, Drake May, in my opinion, is the rawest. What do I mean by that? When you look at his senior year in high school, he missed that year because of COVID. Then he redshirted his freshman year at North Carolina and played his next 2 years. But also, the 2 years that he played, he had different offensive coordinators. So it really wasn't that stability there for him. And then when I look at the top three quarterbacks in this draft and how I rank them, I have Caleb Williams at number one, I have Jaden Daniels at number two, and Drake May at number three. Well, the other two top quarterbacks within the last 2 years, they had a wide receiver that is projected to go in the first round, or wide receivers, or a wide receiver in Caleb Williams, in which he had Jordan Addison in 2022, and we've seen what Jordan Addison was able to do with the Minnesota Vikings in his rookie season. When I also look at Drake May, you look at the prototypical size in the quarterback, 6'4", about 230 pounds. The physicality is there for him as well. I think it's all about destination too, though. He's going to have to be the quarterback that sits a year and learn behind someone and just understand the nuances of the game, get his footwork right. But I think at the end of the day, he could have the best pro career because of he's going to have better surrounding pieces than what he had at North Carolina, and also being able to be coached up the proper way. So I'm looking at Drake May.
You know, Molly, at 3:01 on Harry's show, it's going to be Mike from New York City saying, hey, let's show some love to Caleb Williams, who's the best player in this year's draft. Let's not overcomplicate it, Harry, which is, look, there are some things about Caleb Williams' game that has to be cleaned up. He was sacked 83 times, 32 fumbles. But, boy, can he do things that you just can't coach. And when you look at his production over the last 2 years, 72 touchdowns, I just think he is by far the most talented player and the player with the most upside. They had 5 losses this year, but in those 5 losses, they still scored 20 points or more, meaning that it wasn't Caleb Williams and the offense that was broke. It was that USC defense. So he has to start from the pocket, which I think they will do. I think they'll be more balanced when you have a defensive head coach like Matt Eberflus, much the way we had Rex Ryan with Mark Sanchez, also ironically from USC. We try to stay balanced early in their career and let Caleb Williams grow into what these incredible tools he have, because not only is he productive from the pocket, but outside the pocket, he can make all the throws. And I think that puts so much pressure on a defense.
Yeah, one thing I get excited about, and you talk about Caleb Williams, and obviously he's got so much potential and so much talent. He did so much in college. But also I think about a guy like, of course, we talk about some of the other quarterbacks in this draft. But for me, I think about Michael Penix Jr. And I think there's like a high level of refinement already in his game. The only question that has been asked about Michael Penix Jr. has been his health. Last year, he led college football in passing yards. Year before, led college football in passing yards. Last year, fully healthy, didn't miss a game. Year before, fully healthy, didn't miss a game. One thing that Michael Penix Jr. does, I think, better than anybody else in this quarterback draft class, not only is his accuracy, but his ability to move in the pocket and make pinpoint throws. He makes subtle movements in the pocket, like you're gonna see in an NFL game. You're gonna see edge rushers, interior rushers, right up in your face. And he does a great job of already, boom, move to the left, slide to the right, and pinpoint laser accuracy with his left-handed throw. And so for me, I think about projection to the NFL. I think that Michael Penix Jr. has already shown the skill set, the talent, the ability, as opposed to, yes, J.J. McCarthy, get excited about. You get excited about guys like Bo Nix and his accuracy. You get excited about Caleb Williams and his upside and his potential. But for me, I'm saying, man, I've already seen it for the last 2 years consistently with Michael Penix Jr. The only question is health. If he's healthy, I would argue he's the best passer in this draft.
Yeah, I will say this, Acho, about Michael Penix Jr. He's my sleeper in this quarterback draft, and a lot of people had him mocked to go in the second round. He was never a second-round quarterback in my eyes. Molly, when I came on First Take for the national championship, I sat up there with you and Shannon Sharpe and Stephen A. and said that Michael Penix Jr. is a first-round draft pick, and I still felt that way after the national championship game because of the accuracy and the way he can throw the deep ball. There's no throw on the football field that he cannot make, and I think he's more athletic than people actually give him credit for. So Michael Penix Jr. is going to have a phenomenal career, and when it comes to Caleb Williams, Mike T., you got to listen to me. I said Caleb Williams is my number one quarterback. We talk about Caleb Williams a lot on Freddie and Harry every single week. But when I'm looking at a quarterback in Drake May, who didn't have the supporting cast around him like other guys had in college, I look at a Drake May who's just raw as hell and has a ton of upside. If you get him with the right coach that can coach him properly and put him in situations to be successful, I like that from Drake May. And he has the perfect size. And I look back at his family history from his father to his brother winning the national championship in basketball with the UNC Tar Heels, but his brother winning the national championship with the Florida Gators in baseball. You have that athleticism, and his family is accustomed to having success. So I think that's a major positive as well.
You know, under the doctrine of reciprocity, I go on Harry and Freddie all the time proudly, but apparently you don't read my mock draft, Harry, because before Michael Penix's pro day, I had him going 19 to the Rams. And here's why, guys. I agree with what Sam said as well, which is this. If I'm the Rams and I can get somebody like Michael Penix with his upside, think about when Aaron Rodgers was at the Packers, Jordan Love gets drafted, how'd that turn out? You think about Joe Flacco's with the Ravens. They trade up for Lamar Jackson, how'd that turn out? So to me, Matt Stafford's much closer to the end of his career than the beginning. And if you could get somebody like Michael Penix and let him sit for a year or two, like what an unbelievable way for the Rams to secure continuity at a high level at the quarterback position. And if he was healthy, he'd be a top five pick. I think he's a perfect fit in Sean McVay's offense. And that was before the pro day. I think he did an outstanding job yesterday in Seattle. So to me, I'd be floored if he wasn't a first-round pick.
Sam?
Well, you said if he was healthy, Mike T. He actually went to the combine, did his medical evaluations, and actually got fully cleared. So he's fully healthy. That's part one. Part two, he may not get to 19. Think about Seattle at 16. Who's their offensive coordinator? Well, the guy who was coordinating Michael Penix Jr. in Washington, in Grubb. And so for me, I'm like, man, okay, 19 could make sense to the Rams. He may not get that far because of Seattle. Look at Las Vegas. They need a quarterback as well. Of course, you have Aiden O'Connell, who got a chance to play great last year. But, I mean, think about, like, for the future of their team, Las Vegas could be a great spot for Michael Penix Jr. And so, Harry, I was with you on the sideline of the Sugar Bowl watching Michael Penix Jr. live and in action. I used to hear people say all the time, oh, watch this guy live. I'm like, dude, I watched the tape. No, this was different. Watching Michael Penix Jr. throw that ball in the Sugar Bowl, college football playoff game, it was something unlike I've never seen that before. And so, and this is not hyperbole. I was blown away by his arm talent. And then it matches up with the film. That's the thing that I love the most about him. The film that you watch, his maneuvering in the pocket, his accuracy, it matches up and is probably even exceeded when you watch him in person.
You should just come to New York.
Yeah, I kind of get annoyed when people continuously talk about the injuries that Michael Penix had in early on in his career, especially when he's been healthy the last 2 years and he, you know, made a statement the way he did in college football. We got to get away from this. We're talking about a guy in Aaron Rodgers who tore his Achilles, who a lot of people thought would have the potential to come back last season. We're talking about a Kirk Cousins, in which I love, and now he's in Atlanta, who tore his Achilles and just got $100 million. So we got to stop dwelling on injury history when today's science is different than it ever has been.
You're right. It's restoration. This is Love Fridays, right? We believe in restoration here. So it just all goes with the theme. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Time for a quick take. It's actually going to be more of a medium take, if I'm going to be honest with you. Last night, the Pelicans took down the Bucks behind a 28-point performance from Zion Williamson. Zion has been on his game. Jay Will, how far can he take his team in the playoffs?
I think Zion could take him to the Western Conference Finals. Often give him, he is like Mike Tyson fighting in the phone booth. That's the way he carves up your body, Perk. And you think about the way Herb Jones plays, think about the way Trey Murphy III, B.I. when he comes back. Like, this team, to me, has the makings of a team that could get there. Granted, the road is difficult, man, but the one thing I see from him, Perk, is after all the stuff that's happened this year, about the inaugural in-season tournament, about all the jokes about his weight, whenever you talk to anybody in that organization, he's doing what he has to do. It feels like he's falling back in love with the game from a work perspective. And to me, that's scary hour Zion. That's a team that can go far.
Yeah, really far. And I got them actually as my sleepers to come out of the West. I believe with looking at the Western Conference outside of the Denver Nuggets, the Clippers have been inconsistent. I mean, the Phoenix Suns are inconsistent. The Pelicans have all the pieces, and we're talking about point Zion right now because he has done a great job of not only making love to the paint, but actually making others around him better. And then on top of that, I'm watching this game last night, and you know the thing that happened that, like, you know, hit a light switch for me? He took a charge late in the game against Giannis, and the emotions that he showed, the passion that he showed, I was like, you know what? He's in a great place right now mentally, because we all know, and you know this, Jay, as a former hooper, when your mind is in the right place, you're going to perform at an elite level. And right now, it looks like Zion has corrected and made sure that everything or all the issues that were affecting him off the court are not doing that anymore, and he's corrected that. So I'm looking at this Pelican team and the way Zion has been playing, medium Zion, because he's not big, but he's not skinny yet. Medium Zion, and the way he's been dominating, they definitely could go to the NBA Finals.
Great. Yeah, he may. By the way, you know, we often talk about this, and I know people at home may see this as trivial, but especially for Zion, like, how many years have we seen this dude look miserable on the bench, being hurt, dealing with the media, dealing with the weight issues? He said, last night, he said, we're having fun.
Yeah.
We're playing for something. That's a different energy that a young team like that needs, because they're actually playing for one another. That's a game changer, man.
Absolutely. All right, I'm playing for you guys today. Bringing my A game.
Yeah, you are, Molly.